If you want to go ahead and open your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and verse 7. So I want to talk tonight about prayer and looking at a certain topic of prayer and anxiety and looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and verse 7, where the Apostle Paul writes here to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about prayer, and as we've been doing this month, we look and see how prayer does work. We were talking this morning about Elijah, a man who prayed to God for it to not rain, and we look and see how it did not rain on the earth for such a period of time. And then we see where he made that request known again about having the rain come forth for the people to be able to see God, to understand God, to know God. And then we see it in situations like this where our hearts need to be focused on prayer. We're to pray without ceasing as we look in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7. Your life is filled with many different stressors. Things that cause us to be anxious. Our levels of anxiety continue to build up. Some turn to violence. Some turn to extreme depression. When some bottle it up. And it's hard to know sometimes with those if there is a concern. But we need help in being able to better handle this situation. I know we talked about this a few months ago about having a lesson on the Christian response to anxiety, being able to try to help those that are dealing with such things, but we can talk about this on a personal level, looking at some of the different therapies that can be used. And one of those things is prayer. We need to be able to lower our anxiety. It also creates, when we don't allow it to happen, we see that it creates a serious sense of doubt. And doubt can, if continuing, lead us to separating ourselves from God. But we can be able to try to fix this solution, be able to have a solution by using prayer. And we want to consider that for a few moments tonight in looking at what Paul has to say here. Where he says to be anxious for nothing. You know, as I look at Philippians 4 and verse 6, think about how sometimes people look at it and really look at it in a backward sense. Where what people want to read is to be anxious for everything and pray for nothing. As we look at that, there are many different things that we become anxious for. You got financial problems, we become anxious and worried about what's going to happen next month. Are we going to be able to do this? Are we going to be able to pay the bills? Are we going to be able to do these different things? And we begin to work ourselves up. And we begin to be anxious for everything. Someone is sick in the hospital. We become very concerned about it. We ourselves become sick. We become anxious for everything. And it leads into other things as well. And we look at that, and some people look at that and we need to be anxious for it and pray for nothing. A lot of people in our world today don't believe in prayer. Some people mock and ridicule the fact that, when something goes wrong, someone says, well, my thoughts and prayers are with you. And they say, well, why are you praying? Well, there's a reason behind it all. Because the verse that we read here in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he says to be anxious for nothing and in everything, prayer. To give everything in prayer. What happens is when we allow anxieties to fill our void in life. I become anxious about something. We allow the anxieties that build us up to cause us to try to be worried about everything. Does it really make things better? Think about it with me. When we become anxious for things and allow our anxieties to take place, are we in a better situation? How about your stress? Trust me, I know. I think we can all say we've all been in different situations where our anxiety may have been elevated, and some people are unfortunately not able to need extra help with it. Sometimes it might be medication, sometimes it might be different things to be able to help. How's your stress in the matter? Blood pressure going through the roof? How's your worry? Do you show doubt? How's your faith? You know, what is your desire? What is your desire on the matter? What can we accomplish when we begin to worry? What are some of the things that we worry about in this life? Is it food? Do we worry about if we're going to have that next meal? Clothing, do we need something to be able to something to be able to help us in this cold weather? Do we need something to support us? And we're worried about if we're going to be able to have clothes on our back. Shelter. Do we have our home? Are we worried about something going wrong in our home? A couple of weeks ago, as many of you know, we had that kitchen for Byron's birthday party, and I wasn't able to go. Had problems with my sump pump, luckily it was something very simple. But then you get some matters earlier, or about this time last year, we had the big storms go through Worcester when I was still living there. And all of a sudden we got the rain, the wind, and everything. Well, I had an inspector come out, and all of a sudden my home has got a whole bunch of leaks, got a problem with the roof. I'm concerned about that. Yeah, I'm concerned about it. Do I let it continue to build me up? Well, for a period of time it did. Do we become worried and let our anxiety levels elevate because we're worried about what might happen? How about money? That's a big stressor, causing a whole bunch of problems in this life between individuals. If you're married, is a leading cause of divorce. Health concerns. How about our soul? These are all different things that we become worried about. But the question is, should we worry? Look at me if you would in Matthew chapter 6. We were mentioning these verses this morning, but I want to go ahead and read them tonight as we go along with our lesson. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, down to verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and look down with me to verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, Jesus says here, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You know, God knows our needs. And again, Jesus goes on to say, well, look at all the animals. Look at the birds of the air they're taken care of. God provides grain and seed for the birds to be able to, and grass to be able to take care of the birds for them to be able to eat. You know, we see God provided, but they did their part to go and work, to go and provide for themselves. And Jesus goes on here in these verses to say, are you not more valued? God has made us in a like image of His. Are we not of more value than these birds? than the animals that God has created? Will God not take care of us? God does indeed know what we need and what we need to do. God has instructed us. Here Jesus says, look at Matthew 6, verse 30, where he says, to first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't worry about all these other things. Do not allow them to distract you, to block you, to separate you from God. But seek first His kingdom, and all these things will be added. You know, again, we take care of ourselves. We provide. God has helped us and provided those things for us as well. God has shown us what we need to do. And it's our part to do the work of God. And He will take care of us. The question is, will we do that work? Or instead, the opposite is, well, I can be anxious for it. I can be worried about it. What good is it going to do? I'm 6'5". If I decide to worry, how much value is it going to be? How am I going to be able to get taller from being worried? How many of us are able to gain stature by worrying? None of us can. Anxiety allows for distractions. Jesus pointed out these things can distract us from our first purpose, from our first desire, from our first work, and that is to seek God's kingdom first. Our loss of focus causes temptation to creep in. Look, we do it over in James chapter 1. When we become worried, when we become focused on other things, we allow sin to be there at the door, ready to come in. And in James chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 15, we're warned about the destructive nature of sin. James chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 15, where it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Our loss of focus allows temptation to creep in, and temptation leads into sin. And when we become distracted from our first work, we can be able to be overcome by those temptations that cause us to sin, that cause us to stumble, which could cost us our soul. Is our anxiety, is being anxious for the things, truly worth it? And the answer is no. But there is a remedy. There is a remedy to this. As we look in everything, we're to remember God in prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6 down to verse 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, pray. Remember God in prayer. Let your requests, let your supplications, let all those things be made known to God. Because we have a God and Father who does care for us, who is looking out for us, who wants the best from us. Look over in 1 Peter. We look at verse 8 this morning, but I want to draw your attention to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Because you're casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God does care for us. He wants us to come to Him. That's comforting to know. That we have one who's compassionate. We have one that wants us to come to Him. It could help ease our mind of being anxious. We have a Savior. You know, again, God does care for us, and we have a Savior who has been tempted as we have. Over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, the Hebrew author reminds us of how compassionate Jesus is and how He knows some of the things that we're going through. He was tempted like we were. In verse 15, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have a Savior who has been tempted. He faced on three different occasions there recorded in Matthew 4. Him being tempted by the devil. He overcame those temptations. He did not allow these temptations to be able to overwhelm and overtake him. The devil used food at one point. He came out of the wilderness. He was hungry. You know, we come out, you know, if we haven't had food in a period of time, we'd be hungry. We'd be worried about that next meal. Satan tried to tempt Jesus to turn the stones into bread. He took them up to the high place, told him to fall down, let his angels take over him. Told him, you know, look at all the cities. You can have it all if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus overcame those temptations. We have a Savior who is compassionate and looking up and understands to a certain degree of what we're dealing with, but did not give in to those temptations. If Jesus can be able to accomplish, and He has asked us to follow Him, it is possible for us to overcome the temptation and sin in our life. We have a Savior who wants us to come to Him. Look with me, if you would, over in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, consider verses 28 down to verse 30. Matthew chapter chapter 11, verse 28 down to verse 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 down to verse 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus has said He is gentle and lowly in heart, and He does provide rest. Isn't that comforting to know that Jesus wants us to come to Him and He is providing us a sense of ease, a sense of care, a sense of comfort. And we can be able to pray for such things. And as we think about this tonight, we should all yearn for having peace. If you go back there to Philippians chapter 4 again with me. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Where it says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." There is a sense of peace, a sense of ease when there is peace. When we are able to go to God in prayer, we can be able to have a sense of ease. That we can be able to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. And it helps us. It helps cope. I'm not saying it's automatically the automatic. You know, sometimes we need that extra help. And this is a beginning point to be able to go to God in prayer. To utilize what God has given us. And the peace of God needs to be in our hearts. If you look, just go one book ahead to Colossians chapter 3. And verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let this peace of God be able to be in our hearts. Let it rule in our hearts. Let it be the forefront. Let it be at this beginning point. Knowing that in a state of peace, anxiety will not have the upper hand. in our times of distress, we need to go to God and go to Him in prayer. Look at it in the Old Testament. You go back to the book of Psalms. And look at the 18th Psalm with me. Psalm 18. And let's look at the first six verses together. Psalm 18, verse 1, down to verse 6. In our time of distress, we need to go to God in prayer. In Psalm 18, verse 1 down to verse 6. I will love you, O Lord, my God, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple. And my cry came before Him, even to His ears. In the depths of death, I think we could see in deep anxiety here. And in times of distress, where did David go? He pleaded to God. You know, as he reminds us here in Psalm 18 that it is God who heard him. When he felt like it was all over, when he felt all the different sorrows, all the different distresses in his life, it was God who was his shield. It is God who was a fortress and is a fortress and a stronghold. You know, David reminds us here of why we need to go to God in prayer. We look at the life of David and see how he faced many different problems. Some of them were brought upon himself, some of his actions and the consequences of those actions. But we see time and again, especially when we look here in the book of Psalms, that he does turn to God. He reminds us of the need to turn to God. The positions that we are in this life, each of us that face these various obstacles, I know we can become very anxious on them when they happen. But we're in a position that we can also overcome. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Paul says here, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Each of us that have faced these different positions and obstacles in our life, there's comfort in knowing that we can handle it, that we can overcome it. You look at all the different things that are going on in our lives, whether there's different things, whether it's money or whatever it might be, we can overcome it. Having these different anxieties, we have a way of escape. Each of these positions that we're in, God has also given us an escape plan, and that is comforting in knowing that. that we are in a position that if we will seek God and seek His ways, He's providing an escape route for us, that we might be able to escape it or bear that, or bear it, and that we might be able to overcome it in our life. We shouldn't let anxiety overwhelm us to the point where we separate ourselves from God. We can overcome it by drawing near to Him, by utilizing prayer, and by seeking His will. Tonight, if you are subject to the invitation, we want to extend it to you tonight to make your life right with God. Maybe you have given in to temptation, and you have sinned, and you need to have your sins forgiven tonight. If you have your sins forgiven tonight, have your sins washed in the waters of baptism, we'll be glad to rejoice with you, be glad to help you in your request tonight to make your life right with God. Or maybe tonight you need to have the sins of the prayers of forgiveness for your sins, to have your soul restored back to the fold of God if you have had your sins washed in the waters of baptism and you have fallen back into the path of sin. Each of the positions that we're in this life, we can overcome. Maybe there's temptation knocking on the door tonight. Maybe you've not given in to sin, but maybe temptation is knocking at the door and you are ready to make your life right with Him. You're ready and needing those prayers of encouragement to continue to fight the good fight, to continue to overcome this obstacle, this temptation in your life. We'll be glad to pray for it. That's what we're here for, to help each other to work together towards that hope and promise of eternal life. If there's anyone that is subject to the invitation, number 330 is our invitation song. As that song is being sung, if you're subject to the invitation, let me know how we can assist you, how we can help you, how we can encourage you. And you can do it now, all together, while we stand and while we sing.